This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are still enjoying these days of Dhul Hijjah, the best days on earth and the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, how quick time goes. 2 days have already finished. And tonight is the third night of these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, the nights are just as important as the days. In fact, it is the nights of Dhul Hijjah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by when He said in Surah Al-Fajr, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal said, I swear by the 10 nights. And the vast majority of Mufassirun, when they commented on this ayah, they said that the 10 nights are the 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. So tonight, I wanted to discuss with you the Quran during Dhul Hijjah. This is from the good deeds that the believer is supposed to engage with and he's supposed to increase during these blessed and beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we are still in these days in which we still have a chance to compete with the mujahid. Now, you know the mujahid, wal jihad fi sabilillah, and its virtue and its status in Islam. You know how heavy and how great this is? This is a person's entire life being sacrificed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, in these 10 days, we, sitting at home, have a chance to compete with the mujahid fi sabilillah. Allahu Akbar. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there are no days in which righteous deeds done within them are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the righteous deeds done in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And then the companions radiallahu anhum, they said, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, not even jihad fi sabilillah. So then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ فَلَمْ يَرْجِعْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ. Not even al jihad, except for a person who went out with his body and his wealth and did not come back. Only the one who dies and is martyred fi sabilillah, he is the one that is better than the one who is engaging in righteous actions and deeds while he's at home. So this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us, sitting at home, a chance once a year to compete with the mujahid fi sabilillah. So do not waste your time. And every second and every moment that goes by is a precious moment, is a valuable moment, is a moment for you to prove that you really love Allah Azza wa Jal and you really honor that which Allah Azza wa Jal has honored. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the final chance before the end of the year to clean and purify your heart and to fix your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because after this, the year, the Islamic year, is going to come to an end. And it's good to end upon a tawbah, to end with righteous deeds written for you in your good record. That's a good ending. So end the year with goodness. End the year, these 10 days, take them seriously. Perhaps your commitment upon worship during these 10 days will wipe away the sins that you had committed in the past ye. And that's true. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the one who fasts the day of Arafah, he earns a year of past sins being removed and a future year of sins being removed. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah, I tell you something. Only those who truly love Allah Azza wa Jal will worship Allah Azza wa Jal during the most beloved days to Him. And no one will honor these days except those who truly honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only those who love Allah Azza wa Jal more than anything else, those who love Allah more than their family, more than their wealth, more than their friends, more than the hangouts, those who love Allah more than their phones and their Instagram accounts and their TikTok accounts, those who love Allah more than everything in this worldly life, will truly honor these days and make the most of them. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, the Quran, during Dhul-Hijjah, you know that it is during Dhul-Hijjah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed At-Tawrah to Musa alayhi salam. These are the days in which Allah Azza wa Jal revealed At-Tawrah to Musa alayhi salam. And these are the days in which Allah Azza wa Jal revealed ayat from the Quran. And this was during the final Hajj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed on the day of Arafah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. It is during these 10 days, most specifically on the day of Arafah, in which Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayah upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اليوم, today, on this day, the day of Arafah, أكملت لكم دينكم, I have completed your religion. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful is this? There is no doubt that on the day in which our deen was complete, that is much better than the days in which Islam was not complete. So we are living the best days because we have a complete religion in our midst. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And today, I have perfected my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And on this day, Allah Azza wa Jal said, I am pleased with Islam as being your religion. Allahu Akbar. This is our identity. On this day, the day of Arafah, is the day in which Allah Azza wa Jal said, I am pleased for you, Islam as a religion. These words are our Creator's words. These are the words of Allah during these days of Dhul-Hijjah. So this is why the Qur'an has a special position in the heart of a believer during these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Because it is during these days in which Allah Azza wa Jal revealed that He completed Al-Islam for us. That He completed our religion for us. He completed this beautiful way of life for us. And so, you know, every 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, when I read the Qur'an, I cannot wait until I reach this ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Heck, especially on the day of Arafah, you as a believer, you just want to focus and read this ayah and ponder over this ayah. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today, which is that day of Arafah, which is in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. This is Qur'an. This is the word of Allah. He said, I have completed your deen. Meaning there is nothing missing. There is nothing missing in our Islam. Every single path that leads us to the paradise and the pleasure of Allah is in this Qur'an. And it is in this Islam. Nothing is missing. أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased with Islam as your religion, as your way of life. Follow it. These are words that bring happiness to the heart of the believer. And these are words that were revealed during these days, on the day of Arafah more specifically. So these are not normal days, my brothers and sisters in Islam. That's why they are the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the deeds that are done during these days, they carry the greatest reward as opposed to the same deeds that you do outside these days. Now, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما من عمل أزكى عند الله ولا أعظم أجرا من خير يعمله في عشر الأضحى. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, as in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, that the greatest and most rewarding deeds are the deeds that are done during the first 10 of Al-Adha, meaning the first 10 of Dhul-Hijjah. So the Qur'an that you're going to read during these days are the most rewarding Qur'an you have ever read throughout the year. You see what you read of Qur'an in Ramadan? And that is something special. Because the Qur'an was revealed in Ramadan. It was revealed in Laylatul Qadr. That's the beginning of the Qur'an. And how special is it to read the Qur'an during Ramadan? And how special is it to pray at Taraweeh and listen to the Imam recite the word of Allah Azza wa Jal? With all that being said, reciting the Qur'an during these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is much, much more virtuous and carries a greater reward, because reading the Qur'an is from the righteous deeds, and any righteous deed done in the 10 days is the most rewarding, as opposed to that very same deed being done on any other day of the year. Allahu Akbar! How can someone hear this and then not motivate himself to reading the Qur'an and engaging in other righteous deeds? My brothers and sisters in Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a special relationship with the Qur'an throughout the year, to the point where Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Qur'an, He said, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, we do not come down except by the permission and the command of your Lord. This is in Surah Maryam. What does this mean? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he narrates, and the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be visited by Jibreel often, because Jibreel used to come down with the Qur'an. So he was visited by Jibreel often. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he said to Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, ma mana'aka an tazurana akthara mimma tazurana. He said, O Jibreel, what prevents you from visiting us more than you already visit us? See this? This is in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for the Qur'an. And Jibreel is visiting the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently with new ayat every time. Yet the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to him, Jibreel, why don't you visit us more than you already do? Why didn't you come every day? Why didn't you come every moment? This is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for the Qur'an, because he knows Jibreel is coming with the Qur'an. He's coming with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in response to what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested from Jibreel, Allah azza wa jal revealed this ayah in Surah Maryam, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ, that Jibreel would come and he would say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we only come down by a commandment of Allah. We only come down by Allah's permission. Allahu Akbar. Yani Jibreel is saying, Ya Rasulullah, I can't come to you every day with Quran. I only come when Allah Azza wa Jal sends me. But you see the relationship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. He wants him to come every single day with something new from Allah Azza wa Jal. Walhamdulillah. Now we have the Quran between our hands. What have we done? What have we done with this ni'mah and this blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal? When was the last time you recited Quran? After Ramadan, how many times did you complete the recitation of the Quran? Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the sad reality is that the majority, most of us, became heedless concerning our relationship with the Quran. Most of us have turned away from the Quran under the excuse that I don't understand what I read. What's the point of reading the Quran? I've read these ayat before. Why should I read them again? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is the majority of Muslims. They have turned away from the Quran. And it is extremely difficult to know that one of the greatest complaints of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment to Allah is that his nation abandoned the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in Surah Al-Furqan, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Al-Rasul, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would say, my Lord, my people have abandoned the Quran. They have abandoned the Quran. They have abandoned its recitation. They abandoned listening to the Quran. They abandoned focusing and pondering and reflecting over the Quran. They abandoned the Quran in terms of judgment. So who in this world today uses the Quran as a source of judgment and legislation between him and others when he has an argument with them? The people have abandoned seeking shifa through the Quran. The people have abandoned seeking treatment through the Quran. Who among us today, when he is sick, rushes to recite some ayat upon his sick, ill body? Who? Right? And I'm not saying that it is wrong to go to the doctor and to get diagnosed and to take medication. You can do all this, no problems. But the believer that is committed upon a serious relationship with the Quran, he knows that this is the first pharmacy. This is the first medicine. The Quran is the first medicine that the true, sincere, honest, genuine believer turns to at the very first moment of his sickness. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complains on the Day of Judgment that his people, his nation, have abandoned the Quran, not just the recitation of the Quran. I gave you a list of how the people abandon the Quran. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, especially on these days or during these days of Dhul Hijjah, the most beloved days to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to reflect deeply over our relationship with the Quran and strengthen it. Tighten the screws when it comes to our relationship with the Quran. And we want to do this now. We only have 8 days ahead of us to make the most of when it comes to our relationship with the Quran. We need to first and foremost understand, what is this book? What is this book that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to mankind? What is in it? What is in it for us? How do I benefit from this book? Why do I have to read this book? Why do I have to build a relationship with this book? Why? Why is there great concern in the believer's life concerning the Quran? Why? My brothers and sisters in Islam, you should understand that the Quran in your life and the Quran not in your life is the difference between the paradise and the hellfire. A person who chooses to commit upon the Quran is a person who has chosen the path of the paradise. And a person who has chosen to abandon the Quran and neglect the Quran is a person who has chosen the path of the hellfire. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That's how serious the topic is. This Quran is a roadmap. It is our guidance. We read the Quran and we commit to the Quran because within this book there is guidance for mankind, especially guidance for the believers. And that's the very first word in how Allah Azza wa Jal began this Quran when he said in Surah Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, that is the book that has absolutely no doubt in it whatsoever. And it is of great guidance to the believers, hudan lilmuttaqeen, meaning only a true believer will benefit from the guidance of the Qur'an. That's why we read the Qur'an, because it has guidance for us. It will guide us to Allah's pleasure, and it'll guide us to the paradise, to the highest levels of the paradise, and it'll guide us to the best life ever. You know, today, how many courses are out there today, and people spend thousands and thousands of dollars on them, attending courses, getting the best out of your life, how to make the most out of your life, living your best version. Huh? Isn't there books like this? They're titled Living Your Best Version. Here, read this book. For some human being that is just like you, that was created by Allah, and people rush to buy a book written by a human being, a kafir, that is teaching us how to live the best version of our life. And we have the Quran. And the Quran is a book of guidance, meaning it guides mankind towards how to live the best version of their life. This is what the Quran guides us to. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. This Quran guides to the most straight and upright way. In every single aspect of life, you want to be a successful leader? The Quran will guide you to the best way in doing so. You want to be the best father? You want to be the best husband, the best wife, the best mother, the best friend? You want to be the best believer? The Quran will guide you to the best possible way in how to achieve this. This is why we read the Quran, because there's guidance in this book for us. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. You know, when Adam alayhi salam and his wife, our mother Hawa alayhi salam, when they were both in the paradise and then they sinned, disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal's command and ate from the tree, Allah Azza wa Jal removed both of them from the paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal said, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. We said to Adam and Hawa and Iblis, get out of the paradise. Descend from this paradise, all of you. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, imagine this, and I want you to imagine Adam living in the paradise. What else does the believer want? Isn't that our final destination? Isn't this exactly where we want to go? And what we are dreaming of every single day and night, and what we ask Allah Azza wa Jal every single day and night in our salat, when we're fasting, when we're traveling, whatever it is. We want al-jannah, 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 Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah. That's what we want. Eh, well, Adam was there. He was there. But then imagine Adam alayhi salam being removed from the paradise. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a disaster. What a calamity. Indeed, it is a huge calamity. He came down to this earth. He came down to this earth. That is a life of shaqa and ibtila. It is a life of misery, a life of sadness, a life of worry and stress and labor. He became burdened by seeking provision and feeding his family. And that's the first man that ever carried the financial responsibility to spend upon his family. Imagine that. And then, that's when sicknesses began, and ailments began, and hardships began, and death began, and old age began. All happened here. Life, daru shaqa, a life of sadness and worry and misery. That's the life that Adam alayhi salam was sent to. That's the nature of this life. You cannot escape these things. So how depressing is this? How sad is this? It looks like there's no hope for mankind. But then Allah Azza wa Jal said, and listen carefully, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, whenever guidance comes to you, whenever guidance comes to you, and that will come to you from Allah as wahi, as the word of Allah, anytime guidance comes to you, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ, whoever is going to cling onto my guidance, whoever is going to commit to my guidance, whoever is going to hold onto the guidance of Allah, the Quran, the word of Allah, in this life of chaos and calamity and disaster and stress and worry and pain and death and difficulty and suffering and oppression, whoever holds onto this word of Allah and the guidance of Allah, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى, Allah Azza wa Jal says, then he will never, ever, ever go astray. وَلَا يَشْقَى, and he will never be sad and doomed. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It is the Quran that will save us from misguidance. It is the Quran that will exchange every moment of sadness to a moment of happiness and joy and tranquility and peace. That doesn't mean that a person who commits the Quran will not be tested and will not be suffering and will not endure pain and will not experience death of loved ones and close ones. No. It means that the one who commits to the guidance and the Qur'an will experience peace and tranquility when Allah Azza wa Jal tests him. His heart will be pleased with that which Allah Azza wa Jal sends upon him of calamities. He will say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, during calamities. Why? Because the Qur'an told him to do so. He read in the Qur'an. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, congratulate those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. He read in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal said the patient are those who, whenever they are afflicted by a calamity, whenever Allah sends a calamity upon them, they are quick to say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, to Allah we belong, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and to Him we shall return. How can a believer remain steadfast during calamities? Only because he's taking from the guidance of the Qur'an. The Qur'an guided him to say these words during a calamity. As a result, the believer is tranquil, he's peaceful during a calamity because he's following the guidance of the Qur'an. How important is the Qur'an in our life? And yet, there are people that don't have a relationship with the Qur'an. There are people that are 40 years old, 50 years old, and still haven't read the Qur'an from cover to cover. There are people that are 30 years old, and they still haven't read the Qur'an from cover to cover. They still haven't understood every ayah in the Qur'an. At least something basic, just the basic understanding, they haven't even bothered to do that. And there is no excuse for us today, in today's world of technology and science, oh, mashallah. You can open up Tafsir al-Sa'di and read, and you'll understand at least the most basic understanding of every ayah. You can do that. But there are people, 30, 40 years old, they haven't even read the entire message of the Qur'an. And how? Where is he going to experience the complete success and the complete happiness and tranquility in his life? When? فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ, anyone who follows my guidance, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى, he will never be misled and he will never be miserable and sad. That's at the end of Surah Taha. And at the beginning of Surah Taha, this meaning is reaffirmed. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Allah Azza wa Jalla is revealing Taha, disjointed letters. Ma anzalna alayk. We did not reveal this Qur'an unto you, Ya Rasulullah, so that you may be miserable. This Qur'an is not a source of misery. This Qur'an is a source of happiness. It's a source of tranquility. There is guidance in this. This is why we read the Qur'an. Because there's guidance. It will guide us until we reach the highest levels of the paradise. It will guide us through the most difficult days of our life. It will guide us through the most intense fitan that we will experience on earth. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَضَرُّ فِتْنَةٍ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي النِّسَاءِ. Or he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the greatest fitna upon men are women. That's a great fitna. How do I survive this fitna? Open the Quran. Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believers, for them to lower their gaze. That's it. That's it. This part of the ayah will guide you on how to survive the fitna of women. You see how important the Quran is in our life. Very important. It guides us out of every fitna. The greatest fitna on earth is Ad-Dajjal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf will make you overcome the Dajjal. Allahu Akbar. 10 ayat, enough to save you from the greatest fitna on earth. Meaning these 10 ayat are more than enough to save you from every fitna on earth. This is why it is important to read the Quran. Because we read it for guidance. It teaches us how to survive the fitan and how to deal with calamities that are sent upon us from Allah as a test. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you, Allah found you ضَالًا. ضَالًا. There are a lot of opinions, but from one of the opinions that I really enjoyed reading, this is mentioned in Tafsir al-Mawardi, ضَالًا means مُحِبًّا لِمَعْرِفَتِي. Allah Azza wa Jal found the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ضَال, meaning he found him seeking and loving to know Allah. That's what ضَالًا means. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the Qur'an came down, he had an intense passion and a desire within him to know Allah. He wanted to know Allah and who Allah is and what Allah wants from us. And what are the commands of Allah and what's prohibited in this life. He was ready. Yalla bismillah, I'm ready to do whatever Allah wants. But he doesn't know because there was no Qur'an yet. Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَهَدَى. And then he guided you. He got how? By revealing this Qur'an. Even the Qur'an is what is going to satisfy that crave to know Allah Azza wa Jal. A true believer craves and desires to know Allah and to implement Allah's commands, because that's how you manifest your love for Allah. If you love Allah, prove it. The way you prove your love for Allah is by obeying His commands and keeping away from His prohibitions. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The one who claims to love someone will most definitely obey the one who he claims to love. That's a sign of love. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this intense passion, he wanted to know Allah and he was prepared to do anything for Allah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal satisfied him with the Qur'an. As soon as the Qur'an was revealed, Allah would say, فَهَدَى. He guided you. He guided you to the knowledge about Allah through the Quran that was revealed. Yalla, my brothers and sisters in Islam, hurry up. We don't have much time left for us on this earth. And there's definitely not much time left of these blessed days and beloved days of Dhul Hijjah. So we need to make the most of our recitation of the Quran and developing this real, intense, genuine relationship with the Quran. I'll tell you something, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Yani, ana wallahi, I'm telling you something. You see, the Quran is also called al-dhikr. Al-dhikr. Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. In more than one place in the Quran, Allah refers to this Quran as al-dhikr. Al-dhikr means the reminder, because the Quran indeed, it's a reminder. It reminds us of Allah. It reminds us of our purpose on earth. It reminds us of what we are supposed to do as slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal on earth. It reminds us. And the human being is always in need of a reminder because he forgets. The believer, from his nature, is to forget. You can't even remember what you ate 3 days ago. You can't even remember what you wore a week ago. And if you're going to say that you're smart, you know what you dressed a week ago, try to remember what you dressed 2 months ago. You don't remember. You can't even remember who you called and spoke to yesterday. The human being forgets. He forgets. So, of course, in the same manner, you will forget the messages of the Quran. You will forget them. Therefore, the believer has to continuously read the Quran so he does not forget the messages of Allah for him. And you know what's beautiful? In Surah Al-Dhariyat, when Allah Azza wa Jal said, and this is a famous ayah we all know, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believers. Don't we all know this ayah? Remind, verily the reminder benefits the believers. You know what ayah came after it? You all know, but I want to shock you with the connection. The next ayah was, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create mankind nor jinnkind except that they worship me. You know how beautiful this is? Allah told us, and remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believers. And immediately after this ayah, Allah chose to remind us of our purpose on earth. He said to us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah reminding us of our purpose on earth. Like, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to read the Quran to remember Allah's messages. Yani, imagine someone sat and read the Quran today and came across ayat that spoke about Allah's mercy and His forgiveness. During that day, this person is fresh. He's fresh, refreshed his knowledge about the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah. And this person will approach the day with hope in his heart, because this morning he read some ayat about Allah's mercy and forgiveness. If he has lost hope yesterday, today he has hope, and he'll ask for Allah's mercy and His forgiveness throughout the day. Compare this person to someone else that did not read any Quran, didn't listen to any Quran, didn't even read a translation, nothing, zero. And he's been like this for today and tomorrow and the day after and the day after and a week and 2 weeks. But how's this person? How is this person going to be reminded of Allah's mercy and forgiveness? How? What's going to remind you? What? That instead, what are people relying on? People are relying on 10-second TikTok reels to remind them of Allah. I'm seeking Islamic knowledge of a 10-second reel in TikTok. Hey, what's this? How rude is this? You have a Quran, the word of Allah, straight, pure, delivered, fresh to you, and you have zero relationship with this, and you believe that a 10-second TikTok reel is going to teach you about Allah things that the Quran can't even touch your heart with? Indeed, this is the generation of today. This is the generation of today. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the primary source of Islam is the Quran. This is where our guidance is. This is where our knowledge is. Go straight to the source and read the Quran. I'm not saying to you, read it so that you can understand it in depth and come out and explain to the people the intricate things of the grammar and the details of the fiqh and the details of the aqidah and come up and la 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 la. I'm just saying, open the Quran. And wallahi, every believer can do this. Watch this. Open the Quran and read. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَسَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Your Lord is quick in punishment and He is most forgiving, most merciful. طيب. You all know what merciful means. You all know what forgiving is. That's it. That's all you need. Just the heart needs to be exposed to these meanings. It needs to be exposed to this name of Allah at least once a day. Hadha, the Quran can do this for you. Open the Quran and read it. Bas, that's all. Just a shallow meaning. Just so that the heart could be refreshed. You open the Quran, مثلا, for example, and you read, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِن قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah says, any word that the slave utters, except that there is رَقِيب and عَتِيد. There are angels that are riding. You see this? Does it need a lot of explanation? No, it doesn't. Anyone can read it. Anyone can understand it. But then the believer, when you read this ayah, you're extra careful. At least for that moment, for that day, you're extra careful. You have reminded yourself that there are angels that are writing every single letter and word you say. You need to be reminded of this. You don't need a sheikh for this. You just need yourself to get up and read the Quran. That's all. Come on, who can't understand this? But there is importance for you to read the Quran, because you need to expose your heart to these meanings every day. Every single day you need to remind yourself of the paradise when you read the ayat of the paradise, so that you can be inspired to worship Allah. Where do you think inspiration is going to come from? Every day you are in need to read the ayat about the hellfire, so that you can keep away from the sins and the evil temptations. Otherwise, tell me, how are you going to save yourself from the path of sins? Every day you need to be reading about the stories of prophets and the calamities they went through and the difficulties they went through and the sacrifices they did for Allah. Otherwise, tell me, how are you going to sacrifice for Allah if you don't have role models in your life that you're reading their stories every day to follow their path? How? How? You think an influencer is going to fill that void in your heart? You think a famous personality on Instagram or TikTok is going to be your role model and teach you how to struggle and sacrifice for Allah? You have to be joking to yourself. Wallah, we are always in need of reading the stories of prophets. Come on, their stories, they're very simple and basic to understand. Yes, I'm talking about the stories of prophets that are even written for children. These are the things we're supposed to be reading every day to expose the heart to these things and to understand the struggle of this prophet and to follow by their example and to remind ourselves that if these were the most beloved creation to Allah and Allah tested them in a very, very tough and a rigorous manner, meaning life is all about tests, and who am I? I'm not any different. The most beloved people are tested by Allah. So, they never turned once to Allah and said, oh Allah, if we're your most beloved, why are you testing us for? Did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ever turn to Allah and say, oh Allah, since I am the best of your creation, why have you taken all my children during my life? Why? Did he say that? Did he ever say this? Did he say, oh Allah, if I'm your most beloved creation, why did you allow Quraysh to kick me out of my hometown, Mecca? Why did you allow people to stone me until my foot bled? Why did you allow people to reject me and my family to reject me and curse me? Why? He didn't say this. When you read the Quran, I'm telling you, you'll come across these stories and then your heart will relax to know that this is the reality of this worldly life. And how you, wallahi, I don't understand how people are going to make it through this worldly life without reading the Quran. How? How? Didn't I read to you the ayah that Allah said, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى? Allah would say to Adam, any guidance that comes down, whoever follows my guidance will not be misled and he will not be sad. Meaning whoever abandons my guidance will be misled and will be sad. Finished. Very simple. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, قُلْ وَأُوحِيَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now is saying, this Qur'an was revealed to me. Why? لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغْ. So I can warn you through it. And whoever it reaches, there is good news in this Qur'an. And there are warnings in this Qur'an. And the human being is in need to remind himself of Allah's warnings so that he is always upright and upon his deen and committed upon Islam seriously. Now, read the Qur'an, my brothers and sisters in Islam, in hope that Allah purifies your heart. When you read the most pure of word, and that is the Qur'an, it naturally purifies the heart because you're reading a pure word. You know, if I had like a cup, and I put dirt at the bottom of it, and I put dirt at the bottom, and I just kept pouring pure, crystal clean water on top, eventually the dirt will go. And that's the example of a dirty, filthy heart. Just keep pouring upon it the pure word of Allah. The heart will become pure and polished and crystal once again. It will. Now, this is why we want to read the Quran, to purify the heart. And this is something Allah mentioned in the Quran. You know, in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم. Allah Azza wa Jal said, it is He, Allah, who sent upon the unlettered, al-ummiyin. He sent upon them, or to them, a prophet who recites the ayat unto them and purifies them. See the relationship? Recites the ayat unto them and purifies them. The recitation of the Qur'an purifies your heart and purifies your soul. And the more you read of this pure word of Allah, the more pure your heart becomes, the more pure your soul becomes, the more pure your worship becomes, your sincerity becomes 100%, your honesty with Allah becomes 100%, you know, you overcome your desires in a pure manner, your relationship becomes 100% and pure, your words become pure, your dealings become pure, your behavior becomes pure, your manners become pure. Everything about you becomes pure because you're filling up your life with a pure word. This is the word of Allah. What do you expect from a person who engages with the Quran day and night? Of course he'll come out pure. There's no doubt. You know, so long as he's coming onto this Quran with sincerity and honesty, wanting the guidance of this Quran, then Allah will guide him to the pure ways. Now, so my brothers and sisters in Islam, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He rectify our state, that He fix our relationship with Him through this Quran. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us to that which is best. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to benefit from this Quran. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our lives with this Qur'an. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He instill love for the Qur'an in our hearts, in our lives, and among our families and friends, and among the ummah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He return us back to the Qur'an and to the way of the Qur'an. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He brighten our lives with the Quran. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to make clear, conscious decisions because of this Quran. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgive us and He bestow His mercy upon us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us our good deeds, our righteous deeds, and to give us the ability that we engage in righteous deeds and engage in all that which pleases Him of actions and words. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us to the highest levels of the paradise and to keep us away from the hellfire and His punishment. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He cause our death upon Iman, upon Islam, and that He resurrects us on the Day of Judgment as Muslims. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us into the paradise among an-nabiyyin, was-siddiqeen, was-shuhada'i, was-salihin. My brothers and sisters in Islam, go and spend the remaining days of Dhul-Hijjah focusing on your relationship with the Quran. See how much you're going to read every day. Make a plan for yourself from now until Al-Eid in hope that you can develop a strict routine for yourself, so that after these days finish, you hold on to a special, new, established routine in your life that you will read from the Qur'an every single day until the day you die. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us forgiveness. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.